World War II, a time of unrelenting global trauma, stretching from 1939 to 1945. It involved all of the great powers of the time. It was the most destructive episode in the history of civilization. It required its major forces to dedicate their entire military, economic, industrial, and scientific capabilities to the cause of warfare. Estimates of the death toll vary, from 50 million to 85 million worldwide. World War II took the art of war to new and appalling heights through massacre, genocide, remorseless bombing raids, starvation, disease, and the first use of nuclear weapons. The notes on Reginald Maxwell May's enlistment papers say in part, "Can swim." That was encouraging, for he joined the Navy and served on HMAS Canimla, a former passenger vessel converted for use as an armed merchant cruiser and landing ship during World War II. He enlisted in August 1943, shortly before his 18th birthday. A year earlier, his brother Frank had been killed in action in New Guinea. Reg himself would go on to be awarded life membership of the RSL. He developed his love for water in childhood, growing up in the riverland town of Wakery.
Well, actually, I was a country boy.
Yeah?
Actually, my dad was in the railways.
Right.
He built the railway from Kew. Right up from Wakery down to Caroon.
Right.
See?
And
he was a ganger on that line, but then he finished up a Wakery and he built a house at Wakery.
And
I came from a place called McGee.
McGee, I know McGee. Yes,
25 miles from.
Yes.
Yeah.
On the road to Loxton, I've been there many times.
Right, the house is right on the main road to Loxton. I left that when, after I joined the Navy, I never went back there.
Right.
To there.
So what about schooling? Where did you go to school?
I went to the Wakery ordinary school.
Yeah?
Yeah. And then I got the job and, you know, I didn't go to high school.
What were your memories of those early days at school up in the Riverland? How did you entertain yourself? What was life like?
Oh, it was like an ordinary boy's life, I suppose, you know. Used to get in a bit of trouble, I suppose.
Did you? What did you do?
Oh, I did nothing in reason, you know. But I used to like playing with Buddy flowers on the trees with the bees.
Yes.
Getting the bees and putting them together on the flower, you know.
Lovely. Okay.
So preserved. But,
and you?
Just ordinary boy, you know.
You must have had a lot of fun in the river, swimming in the river.
Oh, yeah. I nearly got drowned.
Did you?
Yeah. Where the river?
Yeah.
Down the river, you know. And I used to swim inside. It was all barricaded around them, big poles, you know.
Yeah.
And some... This side bloke, but a bit funny, he pushed me over the other side.
Right. So, that's right. So you learned to swim in the river, but you say you nearly drowned.
Oh, yeah.
What happened?
Oh, well, I hadn't learned properly then. Yeah, okay. Only in the pool, in the ordinary pool, inside the barricades and what.
So how old were you when you left school, Rich?
Oh, 14 or 15.
14 to 15, yep.
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, it would be.
What did you do then?
I went to work on a... During the start of the war, after the war, on a fruit block.
The start of the war, yep.
Yeah, just, you know,
good on you.
A day in the fields there.
But
people knew me and they, you know, I just had a job. And then I got the job as a hairdresser then.
Now, that's interesting. You got a job working for a hairdresser.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Where was that?
I was in the Main Street, by the name Coatsworth.
Right. In this little township?
Yeah, well.
In McGee?
Yeah. Oh, no, not really. Wakery.
In Wakery, yeah.
Yes, that's when the shifts had.
I've got you.
I was 5 years old when I shifted to Wakery.
Good.
And I started doing schooling there.
Yes.
Went right through. And then.
And tell me about the job. Did it involve learning the trade of hairdressing?
Just ordinary. In them days, they're not like they are nowadays. No. It's just an ordinary front, back and short.
Sure. That's right.
Long hair. Those were long hair, really short, you know. Short.
And what was your job precisely? What did you have to do?
I had to learn it that way. I had to follow him, watch him, and then he used to go down to the city, buying things up.
Right.
After a while, he had the shop as well as the hairdresser. And he used to leave me on my own. He used 12 hours a day.
So you did a bit of hairdressing, hair cutting yourself?
Oh, well, I'm most of the time.
Good on you.
Okay. See, I went from say 15 to 17 during the Navy. Approximately, I mean, 3 years, you know.
So you volunteered?
I got the job. The chap who had the job was hairdressing. He joined the Army, so I took his job over.
Right.
When I joined the Navy, a bloke took over for me to just ordinary men's hairdressing.
Yes. Good on you. So you enlisted in the forces and you got in the Navy. Why did you choose the Navy?
Well, I had an uncle in the Navy, but he was in the Navy many years before I knew him.
Yep.
He left the Navy and he came to live at Wakery. An old uncle was there. He was in the Navy. Them days, there was no Australian Navy, see.
But there is an unhappy side to all this as well. You had a brother who volunteered for war service.
Yeah, oh yes. He was like my father. My father, he wanted to join up too.
Yep.
He, being in the railways, he was essential duties.
Yeah.
Couldn't do it. So he left, went to New South Wales for a holiday, and he joined the army. They wouldn't take him because he had to be his occupation.
Ah.
What he was.
Yes.
He was in the railways, so he couldn't. But he was a great one for the service.
Yes.
Like anybody else, he was in the service. Wakery, you know, they used to be a place by Wakery, you know, for him.
Now, you showed me some of your memoirs here. You've got a photograph. I don't want to upset you, but I wonder if I could ask you. It's a photograph of a cross, a grave, Private F.F.D. May.
Yeah.
Who is that?
He was my only brother.
Your only brother?
Brother, yeah.
What was his name, Rich?
His name was Frederick Frank.
Yes.
But he lived under the name of Frank.
Right. And what happened? Can you tell me the story, please?
Well, he joined up when the Prime Minister declared war in Australia. He was standing alongside the radio with his boots.
Yep.
He put his boots on. And I don't know how he got to Wakery, down to the city.
Yeah.
And he went down to the naval, to the army barracks. And he joined the army straight away.
And he served in the 2nd 10th Australian Infantry Battalion?
Yes, 2nd 10th, yeah.
And what happened to him, Rich?
Well, he got a draft. They went to England. But to help the English when the Germans was coming through to France and that. And then they got transferred back to the Middle East. From the Middle East, he got transferred back to Australia.
Right.
And he finished up 1942 when he got back over Easter. And they shut him off. Then Queensland, they cut up to New Guinea.
Yes.
Went up to the, right at the top. They went ashore just as the Japs were landing as well, up at Maribor. And they never survived.
Yes, okay.
A fair few of them in there.
Yes.
What are these boys?
And that was 1942.
42, yeah.
Yes. But you still went ahead and you enlisted in 1943.
Yeah, well, I had my papers. And then my mother died. She didn't die. She did die, but she put those papers of mine away.
Yes.
And we never found them. Don't know where they got to.
Yeah.
So I had to reply again. My boss says, "You're essential duties."
Yeah.
I said, "No, I'm not. I've got my pass from Barmira or Berry, where you had to get a clearance."
Right.
And then I got me caught up.
Yep.
And he had to see my local doctor. The local doctor passed through, and the next thing, up the went over to the Birkenhead then.
You know, Birkenhead, Port Adelaide, and you enlisted.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you've got a lovely photograph here of some fine young men, class 13. Where was this?
That's in Melbourne. That's the big depot in Melbourne.
Right.
Cerberus.
Cerberus. Right. And what was training like? Tell me about it.
Well, training was pretty hard.
Yep.
Yeah, you had to be on stay with it. You see, when I went down to Birkenhead and I went through to see the officer there, I got blown shit out of me for smoking.
Yeah.
No smoking on the lower deck. But no, otherwise it came out all right then.
And after that, off you went to war.
Yeah, went from there. I was 3 months at Cerberus.
Yes.
Transferred over to Queensland. Well, that went the assault.
Yep.
Something bigger. That's where I had to wait for the ship. Transferred up to New Guinea, Rabaul, and picked a ship up there.
Now, the ship you were on was quite a famous one.
Yeah.
HMAS
Canibla.
Canibla.
Yeah.
What was the background of the Canibla then? It was a pretty impressive record it had, didn't it?
Well, it was a armed merchant cruiser.
Yep.
That's when they did more. They were more away than what we were. We were mainly up in the islands and Singapore, Borneo, Tarakan, and all those. Then we got up to the end of the war.
Yep.
We landed, and we used to land the troops on the different islands.
Assault landing.
Yeah.
Yes.
And we used to go down from Rabaul, you know, to the different islands, Halandir, Finchhaven. Used to train the American troops they used to be on, they'd come on today and they'd be on for 3 days. Then we used to drop them back in Finchhaven and land. Things like that. That was fine.
How did you get on with the Americans? What were they like?
They weren't too bad. We had a pretty good... we had good food.
Yeah.
So it was not like the... Everything was... They had big holes where the food was there. Proper butter, wasn't it? No tin butter.
Sure. What about the Japanese? You want to tell me something there? What were you going to tell me about the food?
Well, we weren't worried much about the Japs. Only when we did the landings, we used to drop the troops back again, get another load, and drop them up.
I just wondered if you were under any danger from kamikaze attacks, anything like that.
Well, we've had a few planes over.
Yeah.
But what was... Was the Kanibali, Robin, West Australia or the Menorah, they took one, shot it away. But the planes did come over, over the ship, but they never got near us. Of course, we had big convoys. There used to be 100 ships in the convoy.
Yes.
A lot of them were American ships. But we were mainly doing the salt part. They come in after and dropped all their troops off. Well, we dropped the troops to the islands.
Sure.
But it was very... I enjoyed it. We used to get the anxious to look after us. Finchhaven was a good place for us. And Bob Hope. And all them with their concerts.
Yes. So which big stars did you see in the concerts? Who entertained you?
Oh, most of the big players. I just can't think of the girl, the lady. She was there. You know.
An American or British?
American.
Yes.
No, they're all American.
Yeah. But Bob Hope was one of them.
Bob Hope and all that. Bob.
I tried to think who the female entertainer might have been, but I just can't. You got me there. Vera Lynn from the British side used to entertain a lot.
She was one of the British. She was a British one.
She just turned 100 the other day.
Yeah, she was the British one. American woman. I just can't think of
that. That's all right.
Name.
That's okay. Can you remember where you were and what you were doing when you found out the war was over?
Well, we were in Philippines.
Yeah.
We were in the Philippine Islands.
Yeah.
Out from there. We were there. When the war was over, we were picking up Australian troops.
Right.
Bringing them back to Brisbane and Sydney. That was when the war finished.
Did you pick up any prisoners of war?
Not to my knowledge. No, that was...
So your job was to...
We had a lot of Australian troops, ordinary troops. We picked them up from the island, and also the Air Force too. When we were on our way down with them, this was what we were doing, the war was still on. And they held a plane. They wouldn't... They were going back to the islands. One island to a different island.
So this went on for a while. I'm just looking at your papers again, because you enlisted in 43, and I'm just looking for when you left the Navy. Must have been about 40, demobbed, 46?
46.
46, yes. Okay. Any regrets? Did you... Were you sorry that the Navy was over?
See, I was assigned up for 3 years for duration of the war.
Right.
Which had lasted. But I had the option of signing up for 2 years or so it was. That's when the ship went to Japan, took the Australian troops up there.
Right. So you did that?
No,
you didn't.
No, I came back to my stepmother wasn't the best.
Yep.
As a stepmother, she used to look after my father, all right.
Right.
But she said, your father's grieving over you. You know, he wants you home.
Right.
Wants you home. That's one of the reasons why I came home.
And what did you do when you got back to civilian life then, Rich?
I came back from Wakery, back to the city. I signed up there for the Commonwealth job. Wasn't a job, but I was going to be a painter and decorator. Said I have to go down to this place to learn all the tools and trades in the problem. I didn't go back to hairdressing.
No.
So that worked well.
But you did painting and decorating for some years,
yeah,
did you?
Yeah, then when I done my course there, I got a job as a painter and decorator. Went with him. Then I went and shifted from him to another painter and decorator firm. I was there for a good while.
Looking back on those years, Rich, what were the best things about being in the Navy? If you could name two or three things that you really enjoyed doing, that you appreciated being in the service, that you were glad you joined up, what were the best things about it?
Well, I used to be in the landing barges. I used to take the officers, the Finchhaven or some of the other, off the island. For a party.
Right.
We used to stop there and they used to help us out, you know, give us food and that and all that. But that was one good thing about it, you know. But then our old lieutenant commander, he used to have most of the afternoons off. He didn't used to jump in. Just lay around
the companionship, you know, the friendship of your mates, your shipmates, it must have been pretty good.
Oh, well, most of the lads from South Australia.
Yeah.
I didn't know until then, but I went after. Used to come back on leave and then. Do you remember then?
So, you've been very active.
Well, one of our officers was Lieutenant Lapthorne.
Yes.
He was a very, very nice.
South Australian?
See, wasn't he? It was here.
Yes.
Lenny Lapthorne.
It's a well-known name here.
He was a well-known South Adelaide footballer.
Ah, yes.
Okay. Yeah, that's the one. But he was out of my good bloke.
And
they all nice.
So you've got happy memories, and you've been very active in the RSL since the war, haven't you?
That's right, yeah. I went from Wakery down to the city to Prospect. From there, I went over to Paynham.
Yep.
And there, when we had a good time there, not a good time, and I used to do more than I should do.
Go on.
At the time. But when I got recommended about it by the late chairman.
Well, I knew a very fine fella, Clary at Paynham.
Clary Pollard.
What a great man.
Yeah. Clary Pollard.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a president.
Yes.
Yeah.
And did you serve with him as an office holder at the RSL?
I served on his committee.
Ah, yes.
On the committee.
I
was there for several years.
Yes. Well
That's
done.
That's when I done more than I should have done.
Well done.
But I finished up. And then what's the name recognised it? Luke.
Luke Scott? Luke. Yep.
He got me a life member.
You're a life member of the RSL.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
A life member of the football club.
Yes.
A life member of the cricket club.
Good on you.
All through work and helping, you know.
Thank you.
So my wife, she didn't say blue. You go and do what you want to do.
Yeah, good on you. Rich life, full of achievement, able seaman, Reginald Maxwell May. Thank you very much for talking to us.